My husband engaged in sexual coercion for the majority of our relationship, with constant fights about frequency, weaponizing moods, not taking no for an answer, withholding his participation in other areas of our relationship. You know, typical shit women are taught to accept. This resulted in scheduled and obligatory one-sided sex 1 to 2 times a week for over 10 years. As you can imagine, my libido tanked, and of course, it was my fault and my problem. So I did what a lot of women do, and I started researching. This is when I figured out what sexual coercion was. When I explained this to my husband, instead of validating me, he fell apart realizing that he hurt me and immediately became insecure. He started love bombing me and seeking my reassurance that I wouldn't leave him. And yet, during this time, the obligatory sex was still taking place because he was craving even more connection with me to soothe his anxiety. During one of these one-sided acts, he blurted out, "I love you." It's hard to describe the disgust I felt in that moment, how used I felt, and the fact that he thought any part of it was love was sickening. I started crying and he realized his mistake. He wanted to stop. And here's where the story takes a turn. I couldn't stop. In my mind, I heard him, but I kept going in desperation. I made him come because I knew if I didn't, it wouldn't count against his number for the week. He would ask again, we would fight again, and I would have to do it all over again. And so now my hands are no longer clean. Anytime sexual violence comes up, whether it's mine or women's in general, he talks about his pain and how unseen he feels. We have talked about my assault of him multiple times now, where I took responsibility and apologized, but I bet you can guess how many times we've talked about the sexual coercion. Hi, I'm Zahn Valines, and this is the Liberating Motherhood Podcast. And I'd just like to add to our opening vignette that this wasn't 10 years of coercion. It was 10 years of rape. Coercion is just a nicer word for rape. It's enraging. It's easy to feel so much rage for so many male behaviors. And that is why today we are talking about misandry, man-hating, and whether or not I hate men, as well as whether or not we're allowed to hate men. We'll walk through the short and stupid history of misandry, and at the end we'll air some letters from our Liberating Motherhood complaint box. As always, I'd like to encourage you, if you like this podcast, to support it by leaving a positive review on your favorite podcast platform, heart reacting it on Substack, and sharing it on social media and with your loved ones. These actions really do make a difference. They help the podcast succeed, and I'm very grateful if you do them. I am here today with my husband, Jeff.
Hey, I'm Jeff. I'm Zahn's husband. I am here in support of her mission to destroy all things ill in society, starting with the patriarch.
Starting with this specific dude.
Yeah. So I'm a sometimes guest on this podcast, not my podcast. So I'm just here to fill in some gaps.
The only man who will ever be on this podcast, by the way. So, Jeff, do I hate men?
No. Yes. I wasn't ready for that question. Not all men.
Hashtag.
No, you don't hate every man, if that's the question. Is that the question?
I don't know. I think that's the real question, is what do people mean when they talk about women hating men? Are they saying that we hate all men, because that's an easily disputed thing? Are they saying that hating some men is the same as hating all men? We're not allowed to hate any men. It's a totally amorphous allegation.
Are you saying that you hate the qualities of men, like their propensity for violence?
I hate the guy in our opening vignette.
He sounds like a real simp.
So Jeff's using that word because of something that's in our complaint box at the end, which we'll get to.
No, he does, though. I mean, someone who complains about being the victim when they're not the victim, that's pretty fucking weak. Anyway, how did all this misandry stuff start?
Okay, so as I said, we're talking about misandry today. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this is this comes up over and over again everywhere I publish anything. And it's always men accusing women of misandry, and then women assuring men that they're not misandrous, and this detracting away from whatever the original discussion was. And this is not an accident. This is just another really ineffective and foolish rhetorical trick that men use. So I decided that I was going to research the history of misandry a little bit. And I thought that I would have like hundreds of years of information and like there would be like misandrist revolutions. I should have known better because there weren't, there aren't. So the misandrist term didn't really start being used until the late 19th century. And that's when an article in The Spectator used it to refer to suffragettes. So from the very beginning, misandry was a term used to deride and silence feminists.
Maybe we should explain what a suffragette is.
Yeah, maybe we should. It's people who think women should get to vote. That's some real man-hating. I mean, yeah, I just can't even. Because there are lots of people now who think that women should not be able to vote.
Yeah, there are.
And they're the same people who call me a misandrist and who would call the suffragettes misandrists. So, yeah, it developed not because there was some sort of misandrist movement. It developed not as a way to discuss men's issues. It was cultivated solely as a way to deride and silence women. Thereafter, journalists sometimes used it as analogous to feminist, as a way to silence feminists, as a way to detract from any critiques they might have. Misandry has never been a standalone claim. It's always been about getting women to stop talking about male violence. And women, because we are socialized to behave logically and reasonably and to make coherent, cohesive arguments, we respond to this. When someone tells us that we're a misandrist, we respond and we say, here are the reasons that I'm not. We very calmly and rationally argue with the man who just keeps insisting that we're misandrists. Because men have learned that all they have to do to silence women is to just say this shit.
Where have I seen that dynamic play out in a different context? Race?
Yep. Yeah.
Reactions to any civil rights movement?
Yeah.
That outside.
All lives matter. Don't you care about white people?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. It's a way of silence. It's always a way of silence.
Why isn't there White History Month?
The group with the power claims that the group who is complaining about unequal treatment hates them and is trying to take away their rights.
So I did find this anthropologist, David Gilmore, and I didn't dig very deeply into his research. So if he's a terrible monster, then you'll have to accept my apologies for that. But he argues that misandry is about hatred of the male gender role and of the ways that men are socialized rather than of men. So misandry is about hating toxic masculinity. And under that definition, I think we should all be misandrists. I think we should proudly claim that title. Because in patriarchal masculinity, violence and abuse of women are completely normalized. And that is effectively what the male gender role is. The male gender role is abuse of women while pretending to be the victim, just like this piece of shit in our opening vignette. One in three men now admit to engaging in intimate partner abuse. And that's just who admit it. We know that the number is much higher. 32% of college-aged men say they'd rape a woman if they could get away with it. And about a quarter admit to raping a woman before they graduate college. I don't know a single woman who hasn't been abused in some way by a man. Most of the women I know have been abused by multiple men and have not had any period of their life during which they weren't being abused by at least one man. So, yeah, I'm a misandrist and I do hate men as a class if this is what men are doing.
Well, and you had some recent survey results that you showed me about partner violence.
Yeah, so I'm doing a survey right now. By the time this comes out, I will no longer be collecting data on that survey, and I'll be releasing the survey results in early September, but I'm currently collecting data. And it's just a survey about women's experiences in their romantic relationships with men. And one of the problems with data on violence against women is that it's never very specific. And it often uses language that discourages women from reporting honestly. And of course, we can't trust men to honestly report that they are violent. Researchers just design these studies very poorly. Sometimes it seems intentional, like they don't want to capture the full scope of male abuse. So I've done my own surveys. And, you know, I'm not a statistician. I'm not a researcher. I don't pretend that they're scientific. But I sure do have a large sample of a lot of different kinds of women. And what I keep finding is that abuse of women is rampant. So in my current survey, as of now, 75% of women have been in at least one physically violent relationship with a man at some point during their life. And I think it was 60% of women reported having been raped by an intimate partner. And like 96% of women reported having at least one abusive relationship with a man. And when I asked how many men had abused these women, the average number women gave me was that 11 men had abused them over the course of their lives. And I just, how can men talk to the women in their lives who do tell them about these experiences and come away feeling aggrieved? How can they hear this and think, oh, I'm the victim? How can this fucking dude coerce his wife into sex for 10 fucking years and then she has to comfort him? How? Why? Like, why? Why are we okay with this? And why do we feel like we have to defend ourselves against claims of misandry? Every man should have to defend himself against a claim of being a rapist. That should be our default assumption with men, since all of the data shows it's more likely than not.
Well, at least men's violence is limited to intimate partner violence, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's totally safe.
Then women are doing the mass shootings.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's women who are hitting on women in parking lots, who are taking children to islands and sexually assaulting them. You know, at least, you know.
Well, there, look, one person is in prison for Jeffrey Epstein's.
And it's a woman. It's a woman.
Isn't that fucking typical?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but sure, I don't hate men because it's terrible to hate men.
Not to say she shouldn't be in prison.
Yeah, she should be in prison.
Obviously, she should be joined by 24 at least, you know.
But this is, I mean, whatever. This is not the first time that this has happened, that there's been, you know, mass abuse of women by a group of men, and then the only person who is punished is a woman. Men commit acts of violence against women with near total impunity. And I think our opening vignette is like a really good example of that dynamic, that this man probably doesn't even actually feel like a victim. He's just faking it so that he can extract more sex from her, so that he can rape her even more.
It's a way of shutting anything down. You know, what is it? The you did it too argument. What aboutism, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, it's just that. I mean, it's just from the playbook of like, you find something that you can always use against the person, and then you always use against that them. You always use that against them anytime something comes up.
So sort of logically, this misandry argument, when men accuse women of hating men, they either mean that women hate all men, that women unfairly...
And who gives a shit if they do?
Yeah, that women unfairly judge men.
Who gives a shit if they do?
Or that women hate men who are bad. Like, those are really the only three things they could possibly mean. And none of them are really relevant to any argument. And as far as women, like, prejudging men, what I see with women over and over again is aggressively giving men the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's how men get the opportunity to do a lot of what they do, because a lot of their violence occurs in the context of intimate relationships.
So in my feminism, women can hate all the bad things about men and hate all the bad things about masculinity and still have individual men that they care about and not unfairly judge men. But to be clear, women don't have to have men who they care about. Whether a woman has men in her life who she cares about is really irrelevant to any argument she might make or to any sharing of her experience that she might do. I think that what's really going on here is that men who view feminism as fundamentally about hating men are men who see women's rights as a personal threat. They see men and women as fundamentally in opposition to one another. And so naturally, when their enemy, women, assert their rights, these men see it as a threat and see it as a sign that they think men should not have rights. I think it's important to note that men who reject harmful, violent masculinity don't read feminism as being about hating men. And so it's a pretty good test of how dangerous a man is to see how he responds to feminism. And if he says that means you hate men, it means he sees women and men as fundamentally in opposition to one another, as at war. And so a woman demanding good treatment is someone who is demanding that a man not get what he wants. And apparently what he wants is violence against women.
Yeah, so I would, so try it on me, Zahn. Hate a man at me. Or hate men at me, or you know.
I will never work with a male doctor.
Okay. That's cool. Why would I give a shit? Yeah. Like if I'm on a date with you, or you know, or, obviously I would ask why.
I'd
be curious and everything, but like that doesn't affect me at all. You would never work with a male lawyer. Well, I'm a male lawyer. So what?
Yeah.
Why would I care? Why would I give a shit what a woman thinks? And maybe if I didn't have a defensive reaction and I listened, maybe I could get a client out of that. You know what? That's the thing. It's like, if you can disprove assumptions, that's a good way of proving yourself. But if you get too defensive, then all you're going to do is just look like an asshole.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that this misandry thing reveals a lot is that men really identify with being men. They identify with like manhood as a class, and they really are deeply invested in other men. Why would an emotionally stable, confident, healthy man care that I disliked another man or that I dislike most men?
Yeah, it's weird because like I am pretty deep in the manosphere of like hobbies and shit, you know, and then, you know, I was in a fraternity, you know, I don't really want to list my manhood credentials or anything, but like, you know, I like a lot of the same shit that these toxic masculine guys like, you know, I've been friends with plenty of them and we've gotten along just fine. And because there weren't any women around, so I never had to deal with any of that other shit. But like, all I'm getting at is like, I identify with all this manly shit. Like, I don't know what they identify with, like where you go that extra step of like I identify as a man.
I think they identify with the predatory aspects.
The entitlement.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you spend any time online, like on Facebook or Reddit, you see all these men talking about submission. You know, women need to learn to submit to men. And they'll never define what that means. But what they really mean is that men are just allowed to be predators of women.
Yeah, I think it means that. It also means that in their relationship, they're allowed to act like a little boy whose mom takes care of them.
Yeah.
Which is like the core thing that is going on in a lot of this. A lot of this is just bratty entitlement by men. And that's what leads to so much violence. That's what leads to so much abuse, is that they can't cope with the fact that they have to earn things and they have to get, you know, they have to earn their wife's respect. They have to make their wife want to have sex with them instead of just demanding it and then pouting about it and then getting pity sex, which is just the most pathetic kind of sex I think anyone can ever have.
God, just gross.
Anyway.
So, I mean, the takeaway here is I don't think that these men accusing us of hating men actually think that we think that. It's just an effective tool that they've learned with their little, like, red-pilled dimwits. It's a way to take our attention away from our arguments, from our discussions, and to make us defend ourselves. The goal is to put you on the defensive. So I don't think that women should engage with this argument at all. I think an appropriate response is, no, I don't hate all men, but I hate you. Or, or I do hate men, because look at what men do. Don't you hate men too? Don't you hate that?
You told me there was one guy, another parent, who said something to you like, well, not all men, right? And your response was...
What was my response?
It was, you know what we say. not all men, but probably you.
Right.
And what was his response? A good response. Take note, men. What was his response?
I don't remember.
He laughed out loud and slapped his leg. Because he knows.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a... Yeah. I mean, I have not all men, but probably you on a sticker. It's just the moment that a man wants to defend men, that's when you know. And we need to, rather than taking that as a good faith argument, as a failure of understanding or someone who needs to be educated, we need to take that for what it is, what it has been since, you know, the 1800s, which is just a way of stigmatizing women who want to not be abused.
But people are always asking about red flags, and that's a perfect example. Because now, just because someone has a reaction like that, like they can laugh at that, that's not a green flag. That's not great, but it certainly isn't defensiveness. And defensiveness is like a number one red flag. And if you hear a man saying, oh, well, you just hate men. I mean, like, if you're talking about a romantic relationship, unless this person is very open to learning and that's their initial reaction and, you know, you're both young and like they grew up, you know, in a stupid household or something, you know, like, unless this person has clearly shown ability to change and process information and is curious and they're just saying something stupid.
But
if this is coming from a grown-ass man...
It's a thought-disrupting cliche. That's all it is. It's not a real argument, and we shouldn't treat it as such. And if we're going to talk about decentering men, which we should all be doing... We need to keep in mind that this false allegation of misandry is and always will be about diverting attention away from women's concerns and refocusing attention onto men and their stupid fucking fifis.
But it's also...
And speaking of diverting attention, our cats have just decided to throw, like, everything off of my shelf. So if you've heard a bunch of crashes in the background over the last few minutes, it's because we... have kittens, the kittens we discussed in our last episode, and now the kittens are 2 weeks bigger and 2 weeks more adventurous, and they've decided to make it their mission to climb all the shelves in my office and knock everything over.
They're 2 weeks badder.
2 weeks badder, yes.
Who would have thought that would happen?
That is the process of animals growing up. It's the process of them getting badder and badder.
Oh, but they're so cute. I, being a man, am unaffected by cuteness, but I do love it when my family is happy.
I don't really know what that means. That's going to be the one that gets, like, the angry comment, probably.
That I'm unaffected by cuteness.
You're unaffected by cuteness.
But I love it when my family's happy.
That's true. You do.
Anyway, I think the one thing I was saying before we stopped was defensiveness in reaction to anything feminist is oftentimes a confession. And if someone gets upset and says, you hate men because you're... objecting to certain behaviors that men engage in, that's a pretty good indication that that person probably identifies with that and is feeling attacked.
Hit dog hollers.
Yeah.
Always. Like, why would somebody who does not rape women be offended by me talking about men raping women? Why does someone who doesn't coerce their wife into sex be offended by me talking about how that's harmful? It's transparent why they are doing this. And there's also this weird logic baked into this you're a misandrist thing. And it's the idea that I have to agree that it's not all men for my feminism to be valid. Like, why should I have a defense of men baked into my feminism? Why should I have to have a belief in the fundamental goodness of most or some or all men built in to my feminist beliefs? That's up to men. It's up to men to argue that men are good. And the effective way to do that is not by calling women misandrists on the internet. It's with their actions. If you are a good man and you behave well, then women will think, oh, it's not all men because it's not you.
Yeah, let's actually talk about what I think the feminists are after. And what the men just don't want to give up. Let's just talk about social stuff. Okay, don't rape women. Don't assault women. Don't harass women. Don't intimidate women. Do your fair share at home.
And when we say harass and intimidate, that includes like imposing on women in the workplace, talking mm-hmm. over them, refusing to move for them, taking up more of everything.
Being respectful, being humble, you know, prioritizing your family, doing a job and doing it really well, taking pride in yourself and your appearance and your hygiene. For fuck's sake.
Always on the hygiene.
You know, these guys, you know, I bet that guy who says that people are simps doesn't wipe his ass.
I bet he's got poop flakes.
You know, don't act like a fucking child. Like, that's what women are asking from men. Like, show me the man who has a problem with any of those things. And I'll show you a man who's a problem.
Yeah. So, for us, for feminists, for women, it's really time to stop engaging with this argument. And what if instead of wasting our time engaging with this argument, we refocused our attention on our fundamental right to safety and on working to be as safe as possible by minimizing our contact with men? This is something I do in my own life. I do not hire men. I do not use men doctors. And when people push back on this with me, I don't defend myself because fuck them. But, you know, occasionally I'll point out that data shows that male surgeons are more dangerous for women, that male doctors make more errors with women, and that men in any role ever are more likely to assault, rape, and kill women, and also their children. So it's, you know, it's completely justified to say that we want to avoid men in these contexts or in any context. Association with any given person is not a right. Men don't have a right to associate with women generally or specifically.
Well, and like, why would anyone push back on that? Like, having a rapport with your doctor is important. It's mm-hmm. very important, right? I have had men, male doctors, I have female doctors. Like, I don't have to worry about that because they treat me respectfully. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to go in wondering whether this guy is going to disbelieve something I'm saying or say that I'm, oh, it's just he's emotional or something like that. I will be generally regarded as an objective reporter, even though men are way more emotional. And I'm actually not a very good historian of health, but whatever, I'll be regarded as one.
Well, yeah, so we've had a recent example where Jeff had a minor issue with some medical care that he received and complained about it. And the fawning attention he has gotten from multiple people in authority of we're taking this very seriously, we're going to address this, putting written reports in his chart and then asking if we needed to correct those written reports.
Asking if I'm okay emotionally about it.
Yeah. Doing everything that you would expect except for like a minor thing, whereas like I had a medical provider assault me and then later that same day failed to appropriately treat my postpartum hemorrhage, and it's crickets for me. You know, and it's I wonder why. It must be because I'm just so irrational.
Yeah, no, it is really a stark contrast, and like, you know, especially because like with my complaint, I'm like, I'm fine. I don't really give a shit. You know, I got out with what I needed, which was like the procedure done, you know, to satisfaction. I don't really give a shit what anyone else did to me or whatever. But, you know, you got to complain because I don't know what is going to happen to other people. But like the life and death situation.
Yeah.
That Zahn goes through is just treated as like, oh, well, talk to the hospital person whose job it is to try to smooth over, you know, emotional, you know, complaints and then make them go away. Mm-hmm. And it's just fucking typical. It really is. But no, all that to say is like, you know, who cares if someone doesn't want to work with a man? That doesn't affect anyone else but that person. And so anyone who's arguing about this stuff is just arguing that they are entitled to something. And anyone who thinks they're entitled to something is fucking weak, doesn't want to work for it. And that is the root of all masculine fragility.
Yeah, they don't want to do the work. So, speaking of misandry, Jeff, are you excited for our new feature?
Oh yeah, are we there? Yeah, I've been stoked about this one.
Okay, so we are going to do the Liberating Motherhood Male Complaint Box. Y'all tell me all the time about your husband's complaints about the podcast. You email me, you DM me. I lose the complaints. I want to respond to them. I want to punch your husbands for you. So a couple of weeks ago, I decided to make it an official thing that you could submit your, you know, male partner, male loser, male random acquaintance complaints to my complaint box. Weirdly, a lot of you used it to submit like general male complaints, complaints men had about you or the world. I appreciate the vote of confidence that I can address all male complaints. I believe that I can, actually. They should just shut the fuck up. But for today, we're going to limit it to complaints specifically about the podcast. And I'm going to start with three. Since we're dealing with men, and since I'm a dangerous, scary misandrist, I'm going to give Jeff the first crack at all of these complaints.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a misandrist. I hate everybody.
All right. So here's the first one. And this is a quote. The listener notes that this is from a man who was complaining about his lack of sex after reading my article about why women don't want to have sex with men. And here's what he said. I'm sorry, but she's not going to be reaching any men until she changes her tone.
Snowflake. Snowflake can't handle the truth. You know, your wife gave you that article to read because you need to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt your feelings. And complaining about a lack of sex.
Well, it's like what I always say. Do men actually want sex, or do they just want to complain about not getting it?
No, they want it. They just don't want to have to do anything to make themselves be appealing. You know, is this guy spending time with the kids? Is he cleaning the house?
Does he smell?
Does he smell? Does he shower? You know.
Has he ever made a woman have an orgasm? No. No. No, friend. And so I'm sorry that you don't like my tone, but I'm actually, like, not here to reach men anyway. I offer this information, and men can say, gee, I want to have more sex, and this is a woman who talks to women all day, every day. Maybe I should listen to her, or they can say, maybe not.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect me if men get more sex with their partners.
I'd really like it if people could give a profile of the men who are making these complaints.
Please, for the next complaint box, if you could, like, baseball card kind of, like, stats. Like, last shower was 6 days ago. You know, last orgasm from him was 23 years ago or never. Last time he cared for our kids. Like, that would help. But I realize also that a lot of these men are unfortunately dangerous. So if it seems too specific, that's going to be a problem. Okay, so here's the next one. I think this is a really good one. So she says, this is more of an ex-situationship complaint, but he complains that the content is cynical and negative, and that he prefers to live with a positive mindset because life is too short. Oh, and he also loves using terms like simp and beta man to discount and dismiss feminist men.
Yeah, this is the sort of guy who I'd like to see the profile on.
Yeah.
Like, Let's see what this guy looks like.
This alpha.
Yeah, but what the fuck does that mean, simp? Feminist, like, okay. First of all, like, I prefer to live with a positive mindset. It's because you don't have to deal with anything. It's because your life is easy. It's because you don't have to, if you had to face, like, a fraction of the shit that women face every day, you would crumble. That's what you're
saying. But let's actually talk about what's really cynical. Because I want to address that and what is actually positive. So what's actually a positive mindset is talking to people of all genders about how we have completely within our power the ability to build whatever world we want. That is what a relationship is. It is a world that two people choose to create together. And you can create whatever you want, whatever kind of world you want in that relationship. You have the power to create. And what I am arguing is that people in heterosexual relationships can come together and create relationships of mutual love and support, of immense and constant pleasure, and they can build something that is much greater than the sum of the two halves. And that's not cynical, that's hopeful. What's cynical is saying that women just need to settle and not complain and not build a better world because it makes this simp feel sad that he can't live up to any expectation that any woman might set.
Yeah, positive mindset is that you can escape your abusive relationship. Positive mindset is that you can identify that you're in an abusive relationship. He is looking at it from his perspective. But, you know, this simp, like, I don't know. I'm a feminist. No one's ever called me a simp. Like,
I think he's calling you a simp.
No, he's not.
I think he is, Jeff.
Well, maybe on the internet. But, like, if we hung out, I don't think he would be calling me a simp. Like, not that I'm, like, so fucking tough that, like, he wouldn't dare. It's just, like, I just don't think that's the reaction he would have in real life. Because there's nothing to argue with. There's nothing to, like, look down on. What? My wife loves me. I have a happy family. Like, I have an important job. Like, what is simpy about any of this?
You've built a life where, like, people like that you're alive rather than hoping for you to be dead.
Yeah, what? Because I clean? Because I, like, put laundry away? Because I, like, because I don't let my hobbies, like, take up all of the free time for the entire family, because I don't, like, abandon my family on the weekends so that I can go play while my wife does all the childcare. Like, it.
Well, I've got a theory about this simp thing that I think is actually worth talking about. There is this thing that a lot of men who are fake feminists do that's like a weaponized fragility, weaponized vulnerability thing, where it's like, oh, I'm so sensitive. And I go to therapy and I have these big feelings that I'm going to talk about forever and I'm not going to be a tough guy, and just essentially presenting themselves as like babies. And unfortunately, a lot of women buy this because they've seen this sort of like performative tough guy alpha male stuff. And so this like faux sensitive guy seems like something new and different. But it's the same old misogynist just wearing a cloak of like weakness and manufactured weakness and victimhood. And I do wonder if these men calling feminist men simps have that kind of guy in mind, because that is what has been like promoted as the feminist man. You know, feminist men can have all kinds of appearances and all kinds of jobs and all kinds of interests and all kinds of body types and all kinds of emotional states. None of those really have any bearing on whether or not they're feminists.
Yeah, I mean, no one's trying to take away any of your manly pursuits, whatever those may be. You want to wrestle around with sweaty, half-naked guys, you know, call it jiu-jitsu. You want to be an MMA fighter. You want to be an underwater welder. I don't know what the...
Whatever. You want to give up sex for a week and go hang with your bros on a boat, just the boys?
Well, that one is a problem, actually, because, you know, yeah. You don't get to just fucking... True. Take off, because you actually have responsibilities, because like a real man actually faces his responsibilities and handles them before they do anything else. But like, I don't know what's simpy about it. Like, I guess it's simpy to not like whine. It's simpy to not like beg for sex or to insist that you get to have five hobbies while your wife has zero. Hobbies that you suck at, that will make no difference in the world, you will contribute nothing to the advancement of any scientific or artistic pursuit in the world. Like, so, you know, I guess it's, I don't know.
How many women are happy that you're in the world? How many people are happy that you're here? You know, we are in the world to do as much good as we can and to love as much as we can, not to prove how domineering and terrible we can be, and not to leave a legacy of destruction such that everyone's glad when we're dead.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like,
all right, next one.
Yeah.
Hi, Zon, and then parentheses, and Jeff. I have shared a ton of your work with my soon-to-be ex-husband, and the main takeaway by him is that you're, quote, angry or, quote, ranting. This is, of course, typical of men, to just dismiss everything you say, every research fact, every real actual event, and of course, real feelings by women, and she has this in all caps, me. I am sure you will hear this countless times from countless women. I try to educate the man, but he is put off and shuts down when he feels attacked. And of course, any truth of the matter feels like an attack to him because he's taken so much of advantage of me. He doesn't work, has not worked for ages, and this has been one of the main reasons I filed for divorce. He takes from me, but when I bring him evidence that this is a real thing and show him a read to him from your blog, he is just so dismissive that you're just some crazy, angry feminist woman and that nothing you say has value. So the first thing that I would say to this dude, and I know I said I was going to let you respond first, but I have to.
How dare you? You're taking away my... I feel such a simp.
Oh my God. Okay, so if you're not angry about the way that women, about the way that black people, about the way that immigrants and people with disabilities and so many other marginalized groups are treated in this culture, there is something deeply wrong and deeply broken inside of you. Anger is an emotion that exists to incite action. We feel angry when there is an injustice. Good people feel angry when they see something bad happening because anger is what inspires you to do something.
And feel angry all the time. Right? Because there's so much of it around us.
And so this thing we do where we dismiss women as angry, it's just a new version of, oh, it's just a hysterical woman. And it's very similar. It's very similar to the misandry thing where it's just a thought terminating cliche designed to shut down dissent. Oh, you're angry. And then she argues that she's not. And then that's what you're discussing. Yes, I am angry. I am angry that at least 30% of college men are raping women because women are people and those men deserve to feel ire. I am angry that relationships with men, which should be a source of joy and liberation and pleasure and everything good in the world, have become a source of nothing but abuse and misery, have stolen millions of women's lives. I am angry about all of this because anger is what tells us something needs to change. So, like, shut the fuck up, you loser bitch.
Well, I'll take a more direct route here and just focus in on three words. He doesn't work.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he doing? And, like, why are we trying to convince this guy? Now, maybe he's got an excuse for not working. Maybe he's on disability. Maybe... But, like...
I mean, she says it's one of the reasons they're splitting up, so I doubt it.
Yeah, and so... I mean, if someone doesn't have enough self-respect to get a fucking job and take care of their family and contribute to their household, I don't think that they're going to read Zahn's work and get there.
Yeah.
Like, this is someone who doesn't need to be dragging anyone else down. And so, of course he is dismissive. He's probably depressed. And so he's going to lash out against anything that makes him try to take accountability for it. And I just...
What he's saying is that he doesn't think that he should have to change. And you say that everything feels like an attack on him. And that is because it is. It's because I am talking about men like him. If you feel attacked by my work, it's because I'm talking about you. And that's not a sign that you need to get defensive and threaten me or threaten your wife or wine or, you know, whatever. It's a sign that you need to change. When you feel attacked by someone calling you to behave in a more moral and ethical way, like, listen to that voice inside of you that feels attacked. And instead of getting defensive, think about how you could have a better life and you could build a better life with your partner. Like, we get one life, and these relationships can be nothing but good if we just make them that way. And why would we not choose to make them that way?
Yeah, and I think that I just want to say one thing about the depression thing since I mentioned it. So what do mothers especially do when they get depressed? They get up and they keep going, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no other choice.
There's no alternative.
And once you have kids, you don't really get to claim, oh, I'm depressed so I don't have to work. I'm depressed so I don't have to get out of bed.
Well, and especially I'm depressed so I'm going to do Yeah, this isn't an argument that depression is not real or pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's an argument that you don't get to claim, I'm depressed, so I'm going to do nothing forever.
I'm just going to check out of this and make it all someone else's problem. I mean, I'm putting aside, you know, traumatic things or, you know, event-based stuff. I'm just talking about, you know, and I don't know, when it comes to depression, I am a little bit of a pull yourself up because, like, the only way I've ever found out of depression is you keep going and you keep going and you do the stuff that you know you're supposed to do. You drink water, you eat food, you exercise, you go to work and, like, you know, because you're going to feel like shit anyway.
You might as well not make it worse.
You might as well keep doing it. But trying to educate someone who can't be bothered to get a job, I don't know.
Well, and I think generally, you know, I don't know what the state of things is with your soon-to-be ex-husband, but it's pretty clear he's not going to change. So I would just say, stop trying to change him. Stop trying to educate him, because all that happens is it upsets you. It wastes your time, and this is what men are experts at, is wasting our fucking time. And every moment that he steals from you is a moment that you could spend doing anything else. And so spend that time on something else. We need to stop arguing with men about our fundamental humanity. We need to stop acting as if these are valid debates. They're not.
Yeah, every fight that you have drains something from you, and not just your time, but your energy and your mental well-being, and it's just never worth it. So,
and it nurtures self-doubt. You know, if the person who is supposed to love you the most is saying, well, you know, maybe actually you're not entitled to equal rights, and, you know, maybe you're a monster for asking that, you know, I not spend the last 10 years raping you, or that I get a job or whatever. Even if you know that you're wrong, they're wrong, I think that it gets in your brain in a lot of ways. And I think it harms you. And I think that you don't need to hear those messages.
Do you think that our second complainant would call our third complainant a simp? Or would I be the simp in this situation?
Oh, you're the simp.
But
you're
I have a job.
Yeah, but you're the simp. Alpha just means,
I think alpha means that you're confident and you don't have to lash out at people.
What does alpha mean? I think it means I don't like women.
I think it means I'm entitled to whatever I want. And if I don't get it, I'm going to throw a fit about it. And that sounds like a child to me.
Yeah, and women don't typically want to fuck children. Certainly not as great men do.
Burn. I don't know if that's the best ending.
I haven't even told you this. So one of the questions in my survey that's going to be coming out like about a month after this comes out, women keep telling me that there's like an epidemic of men being interested in literal children that like people are not talking about. And I'm starting to encounter this a little bit in the women that I work with. It's pretty common for her to like give a litany of complaints, and then one of them is, and I found child sexual assault material on his computer.
Oh, God.
Or, and he was, you know, treated for sexual interest in children. It's not the norm. I want to be clear. It's not the norm like rape and domestic violence are, but it is far more common than you would think. And right now in my survey, I don't have the question in front of me, but I worded it as, you know, has your partner ever had child sexual assault material, expressed an interest in children, or do you have strong evidence that they might have an interest in children, something like that? And the answers have been yes in 10 to 15% of respondents. And that number is consistent with what I see in the women that I counsel and work with.
Yeah, that's really alarming. You know, having that shit on the computer is a felony that is taken very seriously.
But what I am seeing is that, you know, much like all other crimes, it's often not prosecuted. They come in and they raid the computer and then nothing happens. And really? Then she seeks a protective order and sometimes can't get one. I can think off the top of my head of like five or six examples of this. just in like women I know. And this is not what I would have thought.
No, because I see those cases being prosecuted.
Yeah, this is not what I would have thought before I started like sticking my nose in so many women's lives.
You got to remember, like, prosecutions are decisions based by someone called a district attorney or similar term, depending on the state. But generally, every single county in every single state has its own district attorney who makes all the prosecution decisions. And so pretending that there's any uniformity in enforcement in the criminal justice system is like a joke.
Yeah.
And so that's a big, big problem. But I'd also, I think that especially given the recent climate politically surrounding Epstein and you know, Trump and the like, you know, some of those women might want to see if any local writers are interested in that, because a prosecutor who is not following through on prosecuting, especially like childhood sexual assault videos, I mean, there's victims on the other end of those, which is generally why the prosecutions are so, you know, at least in theory, so serious.
I would also advise that if you find anything like that on your partner's computer or phone, you need to report that, because there's a world in which maybe you potentially get blamed for it otherwise.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't report that. You know, anyone who's got that on their computers, they get a problem.
All right, so on that note, women don't want to have sex with children at nearly the rates that men seem to. If you would like to submit your husband or boyfriend or random male loser's complaint for our judgment, you can do so at tinyurl.com/LM complaint box. And that LM complaint box is all one word, no spaces, no underscores. I'll also put it in the show notes. Please use this only for male complaints, not general communication. Every time I give a form, I get like a couple of messages from men on it that are like, "Hello, I'm a man and I just want to share some things." If you want to get in touch with me for any other reason, you can email zahn@zahn.net. The Liberating Motherhood website is also a really useful source of information, including details on how to come on the podcast, how to submit a vignette for the podcast, where to find all of my work, so much more. Check it out at liberatingmotherhood.org. And of course, follow me on Substack. I also have to put a quick plug in here for the Liberating Motherhood community. I'm finding that a lot of listeners and readers don't actually know about it. So if you become a paid subscriber, then you are eligible if you sign an NDA and meet certain basic requirements.
What's an NDA?
A non-disclosure agreement. A non-disclosure agreement is an agreement that you are not going to take content from the community and give it to other people outside of the community. So you sign this agreement, you become a paid subscriber, you get to join the Liberating Motherhood community, and it is amazing. It is the most supportive place I have ever been. You know, members have stayed with each other, sometimes lived with each other, traveled with each other, supported one another financially and otherwise to leave abusive relationships. If you are struggling in your life, it is going to be probably the most useful source of information. There will be someone who has faced the exact same thing you have there.
Do subscribers have a right to continue to access to this community?
So Jeff is asking that because I will occasionally remove subscribers who are problematic or who won't sign an NDA, because I'm really committed to keeping this community safe. And of course, when I remove people, they get very angry. So no, it's not a right, but you know, as long as you come in and you don't act like a complete jackhole, you'll get to stay and help other people and benefit from their wisdom. So
it's like, it's like any other community. Like if you go into any specialized community on the internet, like say you go on Reddit and you go into like the plant forum or whatever specialized hobby there is, and you're a total beginner and you start posting, telling people what to do, you know, posting your opinion about everything, people are not going to like it, right? You need to stop and listen, read the room, understand the rules, understand the culture. Just don't go in and start arguing with people, because you'll get kicked out of there.
But once you do, it's an amazing place. So yeah, become a paid subscriber and you get access to the community. You get an additional podcast from us. You help support my work. Subscribers are the sole reason I can do this work. I don't take ads. I don't do sponsorships. It's everyone who's paying. So thank you if you are one of those people. And if you can't pay, you're doing enough by just listening, sharing, etc. And Jeff, any parting words? He's shaking his head no because he thinks you people can see him.
No, I have nothing further.
All right. We will be back in 2 weeks.